exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. My blood's so mad, feels like coagulating. I'm sitting here just contemplating. I can't twist the truth, it knows no regulation. Handful of senators don't pass legislation, and marches alone can't bring integration when human respect is disintegrating. This whole crazy world is just too frustrating, and you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Think of all the hate there is in Red China, then take a look around to Selma, Alabama. You may leave here for 4 days in space, but when you return, it's the same old place. The pounding of the drums, the pride and disgrace. You can bury your dead, but don't leave a trace. Hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to say grace. And tell me over and over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. No, no, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
Pretty intense song. That was done by Barry McGuire in 1965. He's a Christian man. He was a Christian then, a baby Christian. But with all the stuff going on in our world, churches are teaching end time events. It just seems like we're living in the end times. You hear people talking about it all the time. When you come together with believers, they're always talking, are we at the end times? These are crazy times, the things that are going on in our world. And I could talk for a couple weeks on all the problems that are happening in the world, but I figured today I'd just stick with the United States. So Barry McGuire wrote this song in 1965. The war in Vietnam started escalating. I mean, believe it or not, the war in Vietnam started in 1955. But we only had a maximum of 1,000 soldiers in Vietnam until 1964. In 1964, John F. Kennedy sent 23,000 more soldiers to Vietnam at that time. So a year after that is when he produced this song. And obviously, if you lived at that time, which most of us did that are in here, there was a lot of conflict in our country at that time. Well, there's a lot of conflict in our country at this time. But one thing that I am going to say throughout the service today is this overall theme. God's word supersedes man's reasoning. And the United States is not, you know, it's had a lot of wars. I looked it up. I couldn't believe what I saw. The United States has had over 102 wars. The only ones that I'm going to really share about real quickly here are 12. The American Revolution, the War of 1812, the Indian Wars, Mexican War, Civil War, Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam War, Desert Storm. Those were wars from 1775 to 1991. In those 12 wars, 1,190,085 soldiers died. The cost of freedom is very expensive. How thankful we are for the freedom that we have. But you know something? The freedom that the world talks about, let's see it. Let me do it this way. Hey, Suri, what's the definition of freedom?
Freedom means the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint.
To act without hindrance or restraint. And that's the way the world sees freedom. But God has a lot to say about it. Without restraint. Freedom without restraint. God's word supersedes man's reasoning. When I take a look at the condition of our nation, within the last 60 years, in 1962, prayer, scriptures, scripture posters like the Golden Rule, do unto others as you would want them to do unto you, love your neighbor as yourself, Bibles, Bible studies, and prayer was made illegal to have in our public schools. In 1973 was the beginning of abortion in the United States of America. In 2015, the definition of marriage was changed. And I could go on and on talking about the downward slide of our moral compass in the United States of America. But God's word supersedes man's reasoning. And when it comes to freedom, that's where we need to look at what freedom really, really means. As believers in Jesus Christ, our view of life is very different than the worldview. As believers, we live in the world, but we do not live of the world. As believers, we actually live in the kingdom of God on this earth. We live in this kingdom of God. It's like a bubble that we live in, okay? And in this kingdom of God that we live in this world, it's way different than the way the world lives. And Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Freedom might not be what you think. And in our world, freedom is taken into places that are totally contrary to Scripture. And it's very important for believers to really know where freedom has run amok in our country, especially if you're raising up children in this world. So I'm going to talk about where all wars come from. If you have any battles in your life, may it be a health battle, may it be a financial battle, may it be a relationship battle, whatever battle you have, it's the same thing as having wars against other countries and so on and so forth. It's all the same thing because it all starts in the same place, and it starts in John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. In Christ, part of that abundance that we have is the authority that we have over the power of evil in this world. And the weapons that we have been given, we have been given weapons through our faith in Jesus Christ to be able to win every single battle that we're in. And, you know, and if this nation would use the same weapons, and this nation has used those weapons in many of the wars that we have actually had, because those weapons put God first. An example, in Ephesians chapter 6, 12 through 17. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Oh, I guess I had it all up there. There are six keys to true freedom. And the very first key is truth. Finish this for me. Ye shall come to know the truth, and the truth shall
set you free.
Wrong. The New International Version does use the word set free, but the actual original word, looking it up, because I always was questioning this, and the word, let me get the Greek word that I have here for that. The Greek word is eleutheru, and it means make. And in the older versions of Scripture, the Scripture is, and ye shall come to know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That is really the true interpretation. And you want tell you this, there's a big difference between set free and make you free. To set you free is a one-time experience. Like when you got saved. When you got saved, you were set free from sin. Okay? And you were set on a path that if you stay on that path, you will be made free. Make free is a long process. Through your entire life, you will become more free and more free and more free. And the freest that you can become is to actually live by faith. So, John 8:32, ye shall come to know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There are 1,050 commands in the New Testament. Learn them all, and it'll make you free. Because they're for our own good. The second one is keys, the second key to true freedom is righteousness. Now, I'm talking about these as weapons because that's what they are. To live by truth is a weapon. It's a weapon that changes your life. It destroys any attempts that Satan has to come against your life, okay? Because you're going to learn the truth, and it's going to make you free. It's going to make you free. And it's also going to bless you in this life. Because Jesus says, when you give up your life, when you surrender your life to God through Jesus Christ, you find your life. So, righteousness means right standing with God. If you are in right standing with God, if God before you, who can be against you? And it's the same with the United States of America. If the United States was right with God, nobody could stand against it. Matthew 6, 31 through 33. Take no thought saying what you shall eat or what ye shall drink or withal what ye shall be clothed. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Righteousness, seek it first, and all these things shall be added unto you. I took this literally before I got saved. I read the Bible. I'm reading it. I'm reading the New Testament. I was raised Jewish. And when I started reading the New Testament in Matthew and I came across this scripture, in time, I actually took this literally. I gave up everything that I had, and I took off with this is back in the early 70s. I took off with a 22-pound backpack, and I wandered around the country. I got saved about 3 weeks into traveling around. I came to know Christ as my Savior. But I never had any needs the whole time I was gone, which was a year and a half. And during that time, God supplied every need. And he led me by his word and by his spirit during that whole time. And it just proved to me that you can live by faith and that things just unfold in your life and happen. So if there's anything in your life you're discontent with, just give it to God and let him know what it is. May it be spirit, soul, or body stuff. Let God know about it and be ready for a change in your life. Of course, you got to believe. You got to believe it's going to come to pass. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We believers in Christ live in the kingdom of heaven on this earth. And God's word supersedes man's reasoning. Mankind's reasoning. Got to say that because it includes women, boys, girls, whatever. Okay. Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. 3. Peace. The gospel of peace is a weapon. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, the first century Christians that were persecuted and were killed in the Roman, whatever it's called, tied to stakes, burn at the stakes, or lions coming at them, okay? When that was happening, I truly believe that those people, even though they were dying, Their faith was strong, powerful, and they had peace even in that type of persecution. There still was a peace about them. There was a peace about all the disciples that were martyred when, you know, and but there was a peace because they knew that to live is Christ and to die is gain. This is just a temporal journey we're on through this life. And when we get into eternity, all the bad stuff goes away. And we have no idea how great it's going to be. We just have a little touch of it. No more pain, no more sorrow. Okay? And so we just have a touch of it. We are eternal beings. We do not live. We live in the world, but not of the world. We do not live of the worldly ways. And it's important to really realize that there's such a huge difference between the ways of God and the ways of the world. Okay, the next weapon we have is faith. And in that scripture that I read earlier, it said, above all, take on faith, the shield of faith. But without faith, it is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When you diligently seek God, that goes back to righteousness. You're seeking God's ways. You're reading God's word. You're being made. You're being made free. When you live by faith, when you live righteous, it gives you a peace that passes understanding. People in the world don't understand it. But we have a peace that's beyond understanding because we have this knowledge that goes all the way into eternity. It's not temporal, and it's supernatural. The next weapon we have is salvation. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe on him would have eternal, everlasting life. So when you receive Christ as your Savior, you're set free. That's when you're set free. And you're set free on a path that when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, it slowly but surely makes you more free. And that free is true freedom. It's the true freedom. And the last weapon is the Word of God. The Word of God is what? Sword of the Spirit. It's also the Bible. The Word of God is the Bible. Okay? And the Word of God, the question I give to believers is this. Do you know what the Word of God is? They say, yes, it's the Bible. And I said, right. And I said, do you believe that the Word of God is the Word of God? That's a question I give to you. Do you believe that the Word of God is the Word of God? You want to know God's will for your life? It's in there. That's why it was given to us. So that we could come to know what God's will is. It's in there. And if the Word of God to you truly is the Word of God, then the Word of God supersedes mankind's reasoning. And if the reasoning of mankind doesn't line up with the Word of God, then either should your life follow those ways. I'm going to read a bit of scripture, and I don't have it up there. I'm going to just read it because there were recorded in the scriptures, there were only two prayers that were recorded that Jesus prayed. The first one was the Our Father. We all know that one. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's one prayer that Jesus said, and it was recorded. The second prayer, how many know where that is? Right on. John chapter 17 is the second prayer that was recorded. This prayer, it sends chills up my spine every time I read it. It is so awesome. And I'm going to read probably 20 verses in it, because the 20th verse talks about you as an individual. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. This is a side note. Jesus was glorified by the Father, but he had to go through hell for you and for me to be able to sit on the right-hand side of the Father, which is where he is right now, interceding for us. Verse 2, as you gave me power over all flesh, I should give eternal life to as many as you have given me. And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. I have manifested your name unto the men which you have given me, the disciples. I have manifested your name unto the men in which you have given me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. For I have given them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from you, and they have believed that you did send me. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through your own name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those that you have given me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. That was Judas Iscariot, okay? And now come I to you, that these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them your word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, even as you are not of the world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. Now, if Jesus prays to the Father to keep you from evil that's in this world, do you think the Father would answer it? Absolutely. And now you're thinking, but he's praying for the disciples. He's praying for the disciples, and that's true, but listen to this. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them in the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Here it is. Neither pray I for these alone, but for also them which believe in me through their word. That's you. That whole prayer was for us as well as the disciples. The Word of God tells us that when we lose our life, when we surrender our life to live according to the ways of God that he gave us in his word, when we do that, we will find life. We will find true freedom. And it's a freedom the world can never understand. But it's a freedom that gives us a joy and a peace that is beyond understanding. Amen? Sam Adams, one of the signers of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, he has a quote that says, "A general dissolution of principles and manners will more surely overthrow the liberties of America than the whole force of the common enemy. While the people are virtuous, they cannot be subdued. But when once they lose their virtue, then will be ready to surrender their liberties to the first external or internal invader." Romans 12:2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may come to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That's what the scriptures are for, to help to renew our minds. As I said, I was raised Jewish, and I did not. I had a very dysfunctional family. Okay, and all that I was learning about what a man is, what a husband is, what a father is, was distorted. It wasn't the way God meant for it to be. But thank God, early enough in my life, I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And through the Word of God, I began to relearn how to be a man, how to be a husband, how to be a father, how to be an employer, how to be an employee, how to be everything. The Word of God. Colossians 3:2, "Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth." So many people live for the things of this earth. Live for material things. You know, don't worry about material things. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all that material stuff will happen to you. Prosperity will come to you. You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. Because if you lose your life in Christ, you'll find it. It's a miracle, and it happens every day. James 4:4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." There's quite a separation between the ways of God and the ways of the world. John 2:15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And Matthew 16:26, "For what does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And you know, this whole thing about living according to God's truths, living according to the truths that are in Scripture, it's not a hard thing to learn. It's not a hard thing to do. It's easy. It's an easy thing to learn, and it's an easy thing to do. You don't have to have a 12th grade education to learn the Word of God and to apply it to your life. You don't need that. If you receive Christ as your Savior, you have the Spirit of the living God dwelling with your immortal body. That's all the help you need to understand the Scriptures and the help to apply it in your life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Can we have the worship team to come back up, please? We live on this earth. We live in this world, but we are not of this world. Thank God for giving us the way, the truth, and the life to learn how to live as men and women of God in this sin-filled temporal existence. The Word of God is the Word of God. My wife and I listen to the Word of God almost every single day. We have an app on my iPhone that is Alexander Scorby. I don't know if you know who he is. He's a great orator. He speaks so clearly. He's got a great voice, and we listen to him read us the scriptures every morning. It's a great way to be in the Word. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.